Welcome to a fresh episode of the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. My name is Theresa Braungart and I'm the marketing manager at ITB Berlin. And today we will tackle the topic of social media and tourism and how to make it right. There's a lot out there. There's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, Snapchat, WhatsApp, TikTok, Pinterest, Discord, you name it. And with travel being among the top topics people post about on social, there's no denying that social media has had a dramatic impact on the way we experience the world around us. And with that, it leaves significant marketing opportunities for the entire travel industry. But how do we make the most of this powerful tool as a travel company? Or which content is the right one for your community? And how do we actually measure the success in the end? So why don't we ask someone who knows? Our guest today is Anja Olivieri, Regional Manager DACH at AgoraPulse. Anja, welcome. And why don't you tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Hi, Theresa. Thanks for having me today. I'm Anja. I'm part of the global marketing team at AgoraPulse. For those who don't know AgoraPulse yet, we are a European social media management tool. And besides publishing, community management and monitoring, we help social media teams measure their social return on investment. So together with my team, we are specifically in charge of the demand generation in the German-speaking countries. And travel is not only my passion, but I think the tourism industry is definitely one of the most fun and exciting and most suitable industries on social media. So I'm really excited to be here today.
Sounds good. And I couldn't agree more on this one. Travel is also our passion at ITB. So yeah, it's a perfect match, I guess. All right, let's jump into the topic then. Anja, you rolled out a survey in the DACH region to find out how social media teams measure their social media activities and especially the business impact that those activities actually have. Can you tell us who took part in the survey and what it was all about?
Yeah, so we sent out a survey to more than 100 social media teams in the DACH region. So also some agencies within that. And we wanted to find out more about how the teams measure, what they measure, why they measure, why they don't measure. And we had a special focus on measuring the actual business impact. So basically what when they do social media activities, like how do they impact revenues, leads, bookings, etc. So that's what it was mainly about.
Mm-hmm. Sounds super interesting, and we will dive into it more in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to ask, you've also asked the participants about the main reasons for companies to use social media. So why don't we start there? For us at ITB Berlin, it's primary to actually have a place for the global travel community where they get information about what's happening at ITB Berlin and to share latest industry news. So as for us, it's an important platform and an important marketing tool, actually. But what did you find out are the main reasons for the use of social media amongst the participants?
So quite similar to what you just mentioned, about 2 out of 3 people mentioned that their primary reason was community building or engagement. So pretty similar to what you just explained on your example. And indeed, it was only about 1 out of 5 people that took part in the survey that said that lead generation, for example, was their primary reason. And same for sales or web traffic. Usually those reasons were not the primary reasons for social media. And that was really, really interesting to confirm because it's kind of what we suspected. But basically, it shows that brand image and engagement are indeed important to measure. And it makes a lot of sense, especially for tourism boards or nonprofit companies. But social can do so much more than just creating awareness. And if you think about tour operators or hotels, for example, it's really a pity to not measure the impact of their social media activities on bookings, for example. So imagine it's a gray November day and, you know, people are sitting on the couch looking for some inspiration of, you know, where they could Travel Next, for example, and they see a social media post, for example, a guide on the most sunny destinations or things like that. You know, they might download, it could be a little ebook or something about those destinations. They might download it or sign up for the newsletter. Then later on, they receive promotions from this specific tour operator, for example. They book afterwards. So it would be great to measure that, you know, it's thanks to this initial social media post that they got aware of your company, and later on it resulted in bookings. But yeah, for now, that's many people don't measure this impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can actually speak for ourselves that often it's like you're really happy once the post is out. But obviously you made a lot of effort to create a post, but then you don't really follow up. And that's really a pity, because that's so, so important. And that brings me to my next question, because I saw that basically all participants that said that measuring the outcomes and the success on social media is crucial, but that's basically easier said than done. So why do you think most companies or many companies do not track their content success?
So that was indeed one of the questions we asked to the participants. And what they said, the main reason, really the first reason, was that their management, or in case of agencies, their clients, they don't really ask for it. So they just ask for how many likes did I get, or how many new followers do I have? And so I guess there's a kind of lack of awareness. The management, or maybe the CEO, may not be super familiar or super great with social media on their side, for example. And or they have this image, social media, it's brand awareness only. So they don't, you know, request more. So that's that was really the first reason. And another reason was a lack of tools or expertise in the team. So people don't know how they measure, or they feel they don't have the tools. And then they're like, okay, where do I get the information? How can I compare it among different networks? I don't really know. So that was the other reasons that mainly popped up. And the problem with that is it's kind of a vicious cycle, or chicken and egg, because the teams, if they want to ask for training or for a new tool to be better at measuring all this impact, the management will say, yeah, but I mean, why should I give you all this extra budget? I mean, prove me your value. So if they can prove that it has an impact on bookings, for example, then it's a lot easier to say, look, we've brought in 5 bookings thanks to our post. Then it's easy to say, by the way, it would be good if we had an easier tool, or if we had a training for our team, you know. So chicken and egg.
I see. Well, what should we do with, let's call it negative success? Like, what happens if there's a shit storm coming up, or you only generated 2 likes or 0 likes? How should we, like, put this in a positive measurement?
Good question. So I would firstly say there is not really negative success. For example, when you mention I only got 1 like, for example, on my post, because honestly, I mean, social media is fast living. You need to try things. You don't need to expect to have great success on every single post. So it's basically when you post something and you get a lower engagement or something, it's still a learning for you. So you can probably figure out, this topic, maybe our audience is not really interested in this topic. Or it's maybe the kind of post you did that was not really engaging, and you need to try something more creative, or a video instead of a text post, things like that. So it's always a way to improve. And I think the main thing here is that it needs to be in the mindset also of the bosses, the head of marketing, for example, that they accept that they don't put pressure, like every single post needs to bring in this or that number, you know. And secondly, I think it's more a trend over time. So it's not one single post. You need to look over time. You know, do I get more engagement? Do I get more followers in a certain period of time? Is there a network that works better, etc.? And not focus on one single post. But if you have one post that's specifically successful or specifically not successful, try to find out, you know, the learning of it. And for your question about shitstorms, for example, I think crisis management is really key here. So it means you need to kind of anticipate what do you do in kind of when a special event or shitstorm happens. So this means you have to prepare. You have to have a plan, basically. So usually, as part of crisis management, you define who to ask, who's responsible to find the right message, what's the plan, what do we send out, what's the timing, etc. So you define that before an actual problem happens. So when it happens, you're less panicked out, and you know what to do, and you know who to ask and who will approve, etc. So by the way, we have done an ebook on this for people who want to know more. But yeah, definitely crisis management is good for that, because you cannot prepare for every single situation, but you can have a general plan of when something happens, who's responsible, what are the steps we take, who to contact in the company, how to align, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really crucial tip you provide here. Definitely. Let's jump back to the survey you did. So, in addition to the measurement survey, you've also done an analysis of more than 4,000 Facebook posts, right, within the DACH travel industry. Can you share some insights that you gained?
Sure. So basically, we analyzed posts that have been done by different companies, so travel companies in DACH region, and we found out that most of the posts were actually posted during the week. But surprisingly, the engagement, the most engagement of those posts happened during the weekend. So that was one of the learnings here. In addition, we tried to see what kind of post performs well. And we could see that in terms of posting, the majority of posts are photo posts, which is not surprising. In travel industry, you have like... It's one of the best industries to have, you know, always picture materials from all around the world. So not a surprise. Way fewer links were link posts or even less video posts. But on the other hand, in terms of engagement, so what did the users like and the audience like? Clearly, video is the winner, even though it was not even though it's also because maybe there were not a lot of videos, but I mean, video is engaging and it's everywhere and it's still growing. So that was really the big winner here. So you should definitely keep in mind in your social media strategy, like how can I have different formats and how can I post them at different moments and figure out what's the right moment for my company.
All right. You've done this for Facebook. What about Instagram, Twitter, and the like? Can we adapt these findings that you have to other channels, or how can we?
Indeed, I mean, there are some parallels. Just to give you an example, we've done another study on LinkedIn, not specific to the travel company, but we found also that engagement is really high on the weekend, even though you would really not. Yeah, you would not expect that because it's a business network. But yeah, people look at their LinkedIn doing when they're sitting on the couch on Sundays, for example. There are some things. And we also found out that different formats, for example, carousel posts really drive engagement more than, you know, photo posts that people are really used to now. Mm-hmm. So there are some parallels. But you should not forget that each network is different, so it's not the same audience, basically. And so you really need to test what works on your networks, and it depends mainly on what's your audience for whatever you offer. Do you offer business travel services, or do we have youth bus travel, or it's not the same audience, so not the same network. And depending on the audience, they may prefer video only or link post because they click through and like to read things. It really depends on the audience.
So, but let's say I'm a company now, and how do I choose the right channel for my company or my goals? How do you do that? Do you have tips on how to choose the right network?
I would say, as I just mentioned, I mean, it's just like other marketing channels, right? Social media is no different. First, the audience, it's really the first thing you have to think about. So instead of saying, I'll open TikTok account and Instagram and everything, no, think about who's your audience and where are they? Where do they go? Where do they spend their time? As mentioned, if you're, for example, a business travel agency, LinkedIn is probably a good place because that's where business contacts are usually found. For younger people, TikTok may be crucial. For seniors, maybe Facebook. Don't forget Facebook, even though it is in certain areas decreasing a bit, it is still a big network where you have a lot of people. So oftentimes it stays an interesting network. So depending on what you offer, what is your audience? And for example, Instagram, you have more women, etc. Depending on your audience, you know who to reach. If it's about family vacation, do you want to talk to mothers? Instagram may be a good channel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that really depends. And also it depends on the kind of communication you want to have. So Instagram is great for storytelling and inspiration, for example. Twitter is interesting to reach out to journalists. Imagine you launch a new hotel, for example, and you want to reach out to journalists so that they write about it. Those journalists you can reach on Twitter, for example. So, and then, yeah, as I mentioned before, I would say instead of spreading all your energy and splitting it into tons of different networks, try to focus, especially if you have a small team, try to choose one or two networks and post regularly, really think about a strategy that makes sense. And then instead of, you know, being at every channel, but just a little bit and not spend enough time, because then you will probably not get a good engagement there. So yeah, and then obviously influencers can still play an important role to promote services. So that's especially interesting for Instagram or for TikTok. So if that's something you want to try.
All right, that all sounds really, really good in theory to me. But let's be more a bit more specific. How should and can tourism companies now use those findings that you have, or when and what should tourism companies post and what should they measure to be precise now?
So should definitely test different times of postings and then compare in a reporting. Mm-hmm. So for example, you try 5 posts on a Wednesday morning, 5 posts on a Sunday, etc., to see if you see a trend. When are people engaging? Okay. And then if you find this perfect time, well, you make sure that, you know, you're using this time more often. You test different formats, as mentioned before, videos, you know, reels, carousel posts, etc. And again, try to see, yeah, really, each time we post a video, we get tons of engagement or tons of clicks on it. But when we post just a photo, it doesn't work. So once you have this learning, I mean, obviously, making a video is way longer. But so I'm not saying you can only do this. But if you find what's working, just replicate. Do it again. Else? You could use tools, especially if, for example, you find out that there's a lot of engagement for your company too on the weekend, just like we found out in general for the travel companies. Make sure that people don't have to work on the weekend to post. If you have tools, you can schedule posts and say this should go out on Saturday at 4 p.m., etc. So you make sure that you use these good moments without, but having this planned in advance, it's no problem for your team to do that. So you might need some tools for that. What else? What to measure? You were asking me what to measure specifically. Mm-hmm. So it depends mainly on the goal that you set for your social media in your company. So for example, you mentioned our main goal is information, but for other companies, it may be the number of bookings or the number of leads, for example, if it's a business, or a number of new newsletter subscribers, whatever is your goal. So it's the first step, So depending on your goal, you measure different things. So what I would say, and that's what, you know, I mentioned in the first study, whenever possible, try not to limit yourself to just engagement and follower growth. Try to think of, okay, what is the real impact for the business? So what could I measure? The number of newsletter subscriptions, the number of event registrations, or maybe you have a specific webinar or show on a specific destination. So you measure the number of people that registered for the event. If it's, I don't know, travel accessories, it could be sales, really. You can, you know, have a promotion and promote something. So, yeah, try to go beyond the brand awareness and engagement whenever you can, because these numbers are the ones that are easily communicated to your bosses and so on, and you can really show success of your daily work. For example, imagine you're a hotel and you send a social post that is leading traffic to your website. Then later on this website, you know, there may be a booking resulting out of it, so you can measure it. I looked at the LinkedIn of TUI yesterday, for example, and I could see they seem to focus on employer branding. They post, LinkedIn is the right place for that. It shows the company value, mm-hmm. like sustainability, things like that. They post videos of their CEO strategy, So that's definitely something you can do on LinkedIn. So it would not be the same purpose what they post on LinkedIn than what they will post on Instagram, and they want to reach potential customers. It's different than reaching potential employees that, you know, people that will, that they may hire. So, I would say social is super important in the travel industry, but like in other sectors, it's rarely seen as a profit center due to the fact that you don't show the actual results on the business. So it's important to try to find some of those numbers and add them in your reporting so you can show this value.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking, or like in my head, I have a list based on what you just said. So it's basically first set your goals, like maybe employer branding or image or just providing news. Then choose the right channel, choose it wisely, and really that it matches your goals. Then most importantly, also try out, like be brave enough to have trial and error, like try different days, different formats, different times. And then most importantly, set KPIs that are important for you to really measure what you've done there and to really, you know, have clear visions for what is to come in the future, what really works and what the community that you're building, what they really want to see. So these are basically, did I sum it up right?
Perfect.
Very good. Whew. Okay, sounds good. You've also brought an interesting case study from a region in Switzerland. I think we all heard about Graubünden by now, but what can we learn from the region? Because you kind of looked into it a little bit more, what they did right. Please share.
I like to look at concrete cases because it's easier to kind of understand. So what I like about their social strategy is they use different social channels that are obviously, because I mean, as a tourism region, you have quite a wide target, you know. There are no gaps in the content calendar when, like, well in advance, they really have different types of content, different types of posts. So sometimes a video, sometimes a photo, sometimes a kind of game. They publish also outside of the business hours. So for example, on the weekend, because for them it's important. That's when people mm-hmm. look up their next vacation. They try to have varied content, interesting things, good mix of different posts. And they also use, for example, what I call queues. So you can define different slots. For example, you can say each Monday I want to have a post that is really inspirational, because it's the start of the week. Mm-hmm. And each Sunday, that's the moment when people book or come to decide to come to their destination. So they might have a promotion on a specific day. So when you have this kind of slot that is repeating week over week, for example, then it's interesting to use different features that can allow you to just fill those time slots when you go. So if you find different inspirations, you just drop them into this kind of placeholder, and each week it will bring out an inspiration, a quote on Monday, for example. Mm-hmm.
It's also good for planning.
Exactly.
For planning ahead.
I mean, you always have, obviously, there may always be some news or something new. So you can still stop it or replace it by something. But at least you're not, like somebody's sick in the team. You don't have, a hole in your calendar. So that's definitely something they do very well at Graubünden. So they really try to be authentic. That's really important on social media. So they did this one video post, for example. They are trying out this new ice skating lane. So you're really somebody just with a mm-hmm. smartphone is on this skating lane and filming it. So you feel kind of in the middle of it, and it's not professional filming set or whatever. No, it's really simple, but it feels like you are there, and you're like, oh, I'd like to try that. Maybe I should book my vacation there. Cool. So being authentic is really mm-hmm. crucial. And also they try to be creative and add some games. So that doesn't mean you have to have a big budget for that. It can be things that are really simple. So one post that performed really well for them in terms of engagement, they just took a photo of snow-covered mountains in Graubünden, and they put a kind of grid over it, like where you have A, B, C, D, mm-hmm. and on the other X you have 1, 2, 3, 4. And they said, where is the person skiing? And there's like this tiny skiing person somewhere. And so everybody was looking to find it and to say, it's in B4. No, I saw it in D4. So people were really engaged. they got thousands of engagement thanks to that. Yeah. So it was really simple to do. But yeah, people like to kind of play. It's entertaining. So that was a really good post for them.
Cool. So they it actually worked to be the scroll stopper, because I find also personally it's really hard for a company to make you stop while scrolling, and that really is like, wait a minute, I have to do something. Let me engage there. I want to find out where the skier is. So I can imagine that this worked really good.
So yeah, it's not always easy to find, and you will not find it for every post, but once in a while, if you that's mm-hmm. why you need to try.
Yeah, that's good. All right, I could really go on and on, because I really like to talk about you with about the findings, and I'm writing down some inspirational things on this side. So I think, though, we're coming to an end of this episode, and I would like you, Anya, to sum it up with three takeaways for our listeners from this Travel Hero podcast episode.
Okay, so test and learn. We've talked about it a lot. Try, mm-hmm. win or fail, and then adapt your strategy. I mean, your product, your audience is unique, so you need to find the thing that works for you. Second point, I would say, don't stay in the dark. You really need to measure, and don't only measure community growth and engagement, but try to go beyond and measure the actual return on investment that social activities bring to your company. And last one, social media can be more. It can have business impact, and you can show that your team it's not a cost center. It can be a profit center, because you really bring in business thanks to the social channels, and to create this awareness in your team and also in the top management of your company.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Really great. Thanks for those tips. Thanks for sharing this valuable insight with us and the listeners. And to all the listeners out there, here's a little goodie for you. AgoraPulse has created a document with the most important data and takeaways from their surveys and the Facebook post analysis that we spoke about. And we will put the link in the show notes of this episode. And just make sure to check it out and get the free knowledge. Any final words you would like to close today's episode with?
Well, thank you all for listening. And feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions on my LinkedIn, for example. And have fun, experiment, and start measuring.
Sounds good. Great final words. Thank you, Anya. Thanks for tuning in. And
it's been really fun. Thank you, Teresa.